Well, welcome back to The Download here on WGN Radio. I'm Justin Kaufman. My guest tonight is a Chicago chef and restaurateur. Bill Kim is the man behind the great Chicago mainstays like Belly Q, Belly Shack, and two locations of Urban Belly, the new one just in Wicker Park. His unique style of food includes his Korean background. He came here from Seoul at the age of 7 with his technical training in classic French, including work as the chef de cuisine at Charlie Trotter's. Kim has won all sorts of awards for his food, which in most cases is much more casual than you would expect from the highly trained Trotter alum. And to me, that's what makes his work special. Bill Kim's my guest tonight at the big table. Chef Kim, good to meet you. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for inviting me, Justin.
Let's first talk about opening a new restaurant. You just in the last 2 months opened up a place, a new Urban Belly in Wicker Park. Talk about that.
Man, a lot of hard work. It took about a year and a half to find a location, and a lot of people who are close to me asked me, where would the next Urban Belly be? I said, Wicker Park, right across from Big Star. My main point, just having lunch and dinner crowd, young, up and coming, and have the people who graduate from college and be able to have Urban Belly throughout their whole entire life.
Well, I mean, that you go into the space that used to be Penny's, which is a mainstay there in Wicker Park. But talk about why another Urban Belly. I mean, you've had you have Belly Shack and you have Belly Q. You have different concepts. Mm-hmm. Why the idea of creating the same concept in a different location?
The hardest thing to do in cooking is consistency and have people relate to your food. Obviously, my background is cooking in fine dining, and you usually guess what people want and, pay a hefty price to come into those restaurants. So accessibility, affordability, and also having a flavor profile that has a greater audience. And that's always been my wanting to do for my career. And, one thing I really wanted to do is come back home. I spent 10 years in the East Coast, and I wanted my nephews and my parents to be able to eat the food that I kind of wish there was a restaurant when I was growing up, and for them to be able to come and not feel uncomfortable.
Well, you mentioned growing up. I mean, one of the things that's interesting about Wicker Park is that it's changed. That neighborhood has changed. How much do you know about the history of that block specifically? Right next to you got Pierce Street, and just a little further up you've got the Busy Bee Diner was there. I mean, there is a culinary history to that couple blocks right there.
And there is, and my wife always she's Puerto Rican, and her mom, when she first came from Puerto Rico, she landed right in that vicinity, and every time we go someplace in Logan Square or Humboldt Park, she's like, that's where all the Puerto Ricans lived. So she constantly reminds me of the history of Logan Square, Wicker Park, Bucktown, and Humboldt Park.
Now, recent history, I mean, obviously Penny's has been there for 20-some-odd years. Mm-hmm. I read somewhere that you wanted to honor Penny's because it was in the neighborhood for so long, because it was a little bit of a trailblazer. Talk about your relationship and what you're doing to honor Penny's, even though it's gone now.
Yeah. Early on in my career, I was in Evanston at Trio before Grant. So I cooked there for a year. And Penny used to come, and I met her. And funny story is, I took a very famous chef from New York. His name is Greg Koons, and I took him to Penny's. Out of anywhere, this was almost 25 years ago. And he loved it, but he was in a hurry and wanted to go to Midway. But that's my history with Penny's and meeting her and cooking for her. And when we were looking into the Penny space, Penny and Gus did not want to sell to everybody. And, knowing her really made a difference.
It helped you, yeah.
Helped us.
Yeah.
Knowing the fact that there was a similar restaurant that's going to go into the same space as Penny. So there's a lot of connections that we had and similar to what she does. But obviously we're doing something that's a little bit different and of the times now.
Of the times. I think that's a great way to put it. I mean, the restaurant scene here in Chicago, and we talk about it on the show a lot, has really evolved. Not only has so much attention been brought to Chicago, but the food has evolved. Mm-hmm. And so even the idea of Penny's turning into Urban Belly, that's something that almost is in line with the way that Wicker Park and some of the neighborhoods in Chicago are going.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I think more and more people get to travel. Obviously, we have the internet, so people do a lot of researching. And also people love to cook at home. And with the explosion of food TV, chefs, it's more and more, I feel like sometimes our customers know and travel a lot more than I do. And sometimes they give me the ideas to create and be able to recreate some of the dishes that I grew up with or some of the things that I see when I travel. And it's a great way to cook. And right now it's, the people call it fusion, but I really think it's a hybrid of different cultures from different parts of the world. I try to find the similar links between difference in different cultures or food product that we get from different continents.
I mean, let's talk more about this. Let's take a quick break, and we'll talk more about that concept, that quote-unquote fusion, and your career. My guest tonight, chef and restaurateur Bill Kim, the man behind Belly Q, Belly Shack, and Urban Belly, both locations, one in Wicker Park in the West Loop. We'll continue our conversation here on The Download. Stay with us. Welcome back to The Download here on WGN Radio. I'm Justin Kaufman. My guest in studio at the big table is chef and restaurateur Bill Kim. He's the man behind restaurants like Belly Q, Urban Belly, both locations, Belly Shack. I mean, you have, it's almost a belly empire going on here in Chicago. Bill Kim not only opened these restaurants, but he also, worked as a chef de cuisine at Charlie Trotter's. So he's trained in classical French food. Let me ask you about, we kind of, before the break, talked about fusion. Mm-hmm. Why don't we just start with your upbringing? You came mm-hmm. here from Seoul at the age of 7. Talk about your Korean background and how that influences your food.
I came here when I was 7. We landed here because my aunt lived in Chicago. Nobody in our family is a chef or did anything to do with food. My parents owned a dry cleaners for 35 years, probably about 5 years ago, retired. So I had no clue what I wanted to do. Grown up in Chicago, went to grade school, high school, and I decided junior in high school, I need to find something that I'm good at or need to go to college.
Or you're going into the dry cleaning
yes.
business if you're not, right?
Which I hated.
You're right.
I hated going. So I went to one of those college shows, and I saw a big wedding cake. And I'm like, what is this doing here? And it interested me because I like to work with my hands, and I just fell in love with it. So I went to a junior college in River Grove, Illinois, mm-hmm. Triton College, and really fell in love with it. And it wasn't that difficult. Showed up to school, you did what you were told, follow recipes, and I'm like, hey, this could be a career that I could excel in. So.
I mean, we'll get to it, but I mean, where you've excelled is sort of going against the recipes. I mean, that's sort of your claim to fame, being able to know everything and then be able to try to do different things with it.
Yeah, it's reminiscing of my childhood. And, some of the things, we used to go to the Forest Preserve and grilled short ribs. That sparks an idea. When I was a child in Korea, street food and rice cakes, and I used to take and go to school, and there was a vendor outside, and he would have a chili broth and rice cakes thrown in there, and you pay by the piece. And that was my dinner. My mom used to get mad, but she would give me a little bit of money, and I would spend it all on rice cakes. So it was always within me, but these are recipes that I try to recreate in my head. And also, it sounds kind of nerdy, but I feel like I could collect flavor, memories, and profiles and store it in my head. And when I'm trying to create, I take those same memories or flavor profiles that I have, and it's like kind of copying, pasting what I've known throughout all the places that I worked at and see and traveled and tasted. So those are me going against the grain of, having a recipe. I don't really look at recipes. I look and talk and eat and travel. That's how we recreate.
When you came here to Chicago from Seoul, and what were some of the earliest memories about food? I mean, there wasn't that vendor on the sidewalk who had the chili broth and the rice cakes, right? What was the Korean food scene here in Chicago? What do you remember about the food that was here and offered to you when you first got here?
I think it was just in a fancier setting outside of my mom's house. You go, it's usually a banquet. It's called the tour or first birthday for a child. That's a big celebration. Mm-hmm. And it's usually somebody's graduation you go to, and it's usually a buffet or family style. So there wasn't like a culinary venture onto a Korean restaurant. It's always lots of it. And you get a kimchi stew or short ribs here and there. But it wasn't like, wow, I need to go to this Korean restaurant that is blowing my mind. It was kind of like, okay, get dressed up, go and go to a banquet, then come home and eat pizza.
Right. Well, I think of the Korean restaurants in Chicago, and I think in the last 10 or 15 years, there's been a resurgence of you know, diners who are looking for a little bit something different. You know, we've seen an uptick in Korean barbecue. Yeah. And but to me, it feels like those restaurants have always been there.
Yes.
What's attracting audiences to a more traditional classic Korean fare?
I think it's just the popularity of the Korean culture, the pop culture, right? You have K-pop, you have Korean soap operas that people love. I went to Thailand and people are like, they knew I was Korean. First thing they said, do you watch the soap opera? I was like, yo. Or Korean videos. That's a big thing with my parents' generation. So that being popular, and people are going a little bit more in depth. Instead of just kind of scratching the surface, they're actually just going and going really deep and finding out the culture, the food styles, how to make kimchi themselves, and being able to prepare some of those items. So the resurgence is, I think, people are seeking and looking a little bit deeper into the culture and the cuisine itself.
We're talking with Bill Kim. He's the chef and restaurateur for restaurants like Belly Q, Urban Belly, both locations, and Belly Shack. We mentioned at the beginning of this segment just about the idea of fusion. And a lot of what you do, you bring in cultures from all over the place. Mm-hmm. I mean, you talk about your wife having, you know, being Puerto Rican, and that's the that's a big thing going on at Belly Shack.
Yeah.
You say you build with flavor profiles. Talk about the flavor profiles that you use at a place like Belly Shack when you're borrowing from cultures, both your culture, Korean, and your wife's culture, Puerto Rican.
Yeah. So people think it's a Latin culture and Asian culture is very far apart. But what I try to look at, what are the commonality or something that is similar? Perfect example, a jicama. Jicama, to me, in my mind, is like a water chestnut. It's the same kind of starchiness, textural similarities, but a jicama is available year-round in the States. And a water chestnut is available fresh maybe 1 to 2 months a year. So instead of using canned stuff, why not use fresh? If you go to Thailand, which is tropical, same thing with a lot of the Caribbean. Bananas.
Okay.
Cilantro. Cumin. A lot of tropical fruits, papaya in both countries. So, you know, it's not that hard. You just need to find and dig a little deeper and really find out that is almost the same similarities. And we try to use papaya in two different ways. You could use papaya from the Caribbean to make sorbet, or we take green papaya and make it into a pickled vegetable. Same thing with mangoes.
It's, you make it seem so simple. Then why weren't more restaurants borrowing from or bringing those two cultures together, Latin culture and the Asian culture?
So I work for a French chef. I won't name names, but I asked him when I was a very young cook. This was almost 30 years ago. I asked the chef, hey, chef, if you go eat at a Vietnamese or a Thai restaurant, is that ever going to come into your cooking? Is that going to influence you? And he would laugh at me and say, why would I do that? I am French. So that really...
So just like an ego kind of thing?
I think it's the inexperience of not being an expertise in that type of culture or food to kind of intimidate them and not be able to use it. But it put a light bulb in my head because I was cooking at French restaurants and here I am, grew up, speak Korean, and know the food much as I can, but I'm like, I need to find the best Asian chef in the country. And by the age of 27, I decided I'm going to find that person. And she was in Philadelphia.
She was.
She was. And her name was Susanna Fu, and she really took me under her wing.
And that's
really
where you learned a lot about.
A lot. Yeah. To the point where she's like my Chinese mother and really taught me a lot about how to meld the flavors together. And knowing that I had the background of fine dining, to kind of help her to understand how to run a very regimented restaurant. But her, with her Taiwanese background, taught me about Asian food that could be beyond what I know.
Let's take a break for the news. We'll come back and talk more. I'm fascinated about how highly technically trained you are. I mean, you were chef de cuisine at Charlie Trotter's. Yeah. You've went through the French food, you know, gauntlet. You've worked in all these restaurants that most of the restaurateurs and chefs that we, you know, that are your peers are in 4-star places that, you know, it costs that much. So we'll talk a little bit more about why you choose to go a more casual route with places like Urban Belly and Belly Shack, but also Belly Q. Bill Kim is in studio with us. He's the chef and restaurateur at those places. We'll continue the conversation after the news. Stay with us. Welcome back to The Download here on WGN Radio. I'm Justin Coffin. My guest in studio at the big table here, Bill Kim. He's a chef and restaurateur behind places like Belly Q, Belly Shack, and Urban Belly, which is both in the West Loop and Wicker Park. Before the break, we were just talking about, you know, your training. I mean, it was one thing to go to Triton College and get interested in food, but it's another to become the chef de cuisine at Charlie Trotter's, to work in Trio, to work at the restaurants on the East Coast that you spent so much time at. Talk about when you got serious and started to train at such a high level.
After Triton College, I got my butt kicked at a no-name restaurant in Oak Park, and I was so embarrassed for myself.
What do you mean butt kicked?
Like, people were bossing me around. I just didn't get it. And I was a dishwasher and a lunchtime cook, and they're just like, you just do this. And I said, you know what? I need more training. So I went to Kendall College in Evanston and really said, I'm never going to look back on my career and say, what if? So I decided then I'm going to work for the best chefs in the country. That's what I decided.
How does one do that? I mean, even going to Kendall College, when you're at Kendall College, how do you say, I'm going to work for the best? Hi, I'm Bill Kim. Can I come work for you?
I just outworked everybody. I snuck into classes that I didn't belong to. I took a taxidermy class that I had no right to take. I just went in there because I wanted to do it. I washed dishes during the classes, and I snuck into upperclassmen classes because I just wanted to learn, and I just wanted to be a vacuum cleaner. Then I saw the Great Chefs of Chicago book, and I said, I want to work for at least two of these guys, and I did.
So talk about, you know, making that transition to working in those kitchens, even before Chef de Cuisine, when you first got into a kitchen with now a little bit of training under your belt, what did you do? What was the aesthetic that you brought? The same kind of thing, like bust your ass kind of thing?
That's basically it. In fine dining, you just have to stand out either by being talented. You know, people say you're naturally talented. I don't know if you have that. You just have to work like a madman. And be able to pick up anything that's involved in food, read it, eat it, and go to it. And that's what we did. I didn't know that until I got to Trotter's in 1993.
When you got to Trotter's, I mean, in 1993, Charlie Trotter's was the restaurant in Chicago. There was not, like it is now, where there's trip over a fine dining restaurant now here in Chicago. But talk about that. I mean, that was sort of a destination. And there's been so many great stories about working for Charlie Trotter.
First of all, I didn't know who he was, honestly.
You didn't?
I just had somebody that I knew that worked there, recommended a place. There was a place, Gordon's, I went to, and Carlos. And both the chefs from there, I asked them, if you were me, who was young, single, and just hungry to learn, they both pointed at Trotter's. I was like, okay, I'll go there. And after 1 year, he opened up Las Vegas. He wrote the cookbook. Then all hell broke loose. And I was just riding the wave. And I was just lucky to be there. And he saw something in me. He took me under his wing. We traveled all through Europe. We did a demo in Veuve Clicquot in Reims. He took me to 3-star Michelin places. And here I am, 26, owning one suit. One, not even a suit, a jacket. Suit jacket, and he's like, that's not going to be enough. So here he is taking me everywhere around the world, showing me things. And being young and impressionable really laid the foundation for myself.
What did you learn from Charlie?
Dedication. one thing that I still take this day very seriously is giving back, giving yourself. And it goes beyond just a restaurant. Everybody thinks a restaurant is involved in food, but to me, and Charlie has taught me, it's about people and what you could do with the knowledge that you have and affect people's lives in a different way.
Why not stay in the fine dining arena? I mean, Belly Q, I want to sell Belly Q short because mm-hmm. it's still in the fine dining arena. But Urban Belly, Belly Shack, they're not places that usually a chef de cuisine who worked with Charlie Trotter are going to open. Why go casual?
I think with my background, it's the obvious thing to do. But the challenge is to be who I am as a person. You know, me and my wife, we never get dressed up. We go to eat at casual places. It's the thing that I wanted to do on my day off, to go to a casual spot. We always said when we opened up the first Urban Belly, we want cooks, chefs, and people who love food to come to our restaurant. And that's what everybody kind of wants anyways, right? So I said, it's going to be about food, and it's going to be about service. You know, and back then it was BYOB, free parking, and nothing was over $13. And have delicious food, and how can you complain about that?
I think, you know, I asked a question a little bit earlier about the resurgence of Korean barbecue. Mm-hmm. Do you see a Korean Chicago audience or diner coming to Urban Belly? Are you attracting an indigenous Korean population to your food?
I think there are some that come, but honestly, our food is meant to be for everybody. It's not an Asian palate, American palate. This is what I wanted as a child. When a Korean-born immigrant comes trying to assimilate to the culture of the States, and you're trying to forget one language and trying to assimilate to another, so you're stuck. So basically, Urban Belly, Belly Shack, and Belly Q is my childhood. And I wanted these restaurants as a child, and there wasn't any. So it's a good representation of where we wanted to be and where we wanted to go. So it's the perfect combination of Asian, Latin, Vietnamese, Thailand, a barbecue, a noodle, dumplings and mm-hmm. rice, sandwiches, street food. So it's grown up. 2016, this is the way I think Asian food should be represented in Chicago.
For you, I mean, to open up a new Urban Belly in Wicker Park to add to your restaurant collection, mm-hmm. you talked about, you know, how you got here by working like a madman. Do you see yourself slowing down at all? I mean, you're adding restaurants, so I don't know how that's possible. But, I mean, has your work ethic – I want to say that it's changed because that could sound like it's, you know, like something that's negative. But have you learned to balance life and being in the kitchen as you get older?
I do. I mean – my wife would say no, but I try to, you know, stop it right after, you know, I leave. Obviously, it doesn't always work out, but it's not about me. It's really about the people actually work in our kitchen. A kid like the chef at Urban Belly, so we had him when he was 21. He knew absolutely nothing about Asian food. After 6 years later, he's running our kitchen. So it's about him. It's about the chef de cuisine at Belly Q trying to embrace them and teach them, and they're the ones who are taking the next step. I just try to talk to them and inspire them, and they're the ones who really make the restaurant go, and our general managers, our servers, all the people. We have a dumpling lady that's been with us 9 years. She makes 10,000 pieces of dumpling
wow.
a week. We have a person, her name is Connie, and she makes all the steamed buns for the restaurant. So I have the idea sometimes that we collaborate with others at the restaurant, and we do it together as a team. And that goes back to working at Trotter. It's all about teamwork. It's not about one individual. It's about collaborating with the people that want to inspire and get better.
You mentioned in just a couple minutes ago about the idea that this is the kind of restaurant, and Urban Belly is the kind of restaurant you wanted as a kid. Being that kid who came here when you were 7 years old and now having a legacy, the idea that these are restaurants that, you know, we're talking about here on WGN Radio, but we're not the first to talk about it. Mm-hmm. Urban Belly is a very successful restaurant in Chicago, as well as Belly Q and Belly Shack. How does it make you feel to be a kid who came here at 7 years old and to be have an actual legacy in the city of Chicago?
I don't know if it's legacy. I'm very proud of it. It's a dream come true. I've never thought I was going to do this to have any kind of popularity. It was means to have a job. When we opened up, my wife and I said, we're going to jump off a cliff. We opened up 2008, and we just kind of rolled the dice, and she says, we will do this together, and we will jump, and hopefully things will go fine. And our very, very first customer was Monica Ng, and our third customer was Steve Dolinsky. So
those are good two people to have as your first customers.
That, with the internet and everything, just came together with my sister-in-law helping us design it, creating the logo. So it's always been about teamwork. We did it together. You know, that's what we take pride in. We didn't do it to be popular or to do something that, you know, nobody else was doing. We wanted that. We wanted the challenge of doing something that's very different. I mean, 20 plus years in fine dining counter service, I had no idea what to do, but I wanted it. I wanted a noodle restaurant or a dumpling restaurant, you know, special. I took a trip to Japan, 10 days, just out of the blue, and I'm just going to go. And all I did, eat ramen for 10 days in Japan, just flying around and just understanding the culture, knowing what my Korean background was, and got to go to Thailand, got to go to China, and really set my roots and said, this is what I want to do.
Bill Kim is the chef and restaurateur behind Belly Q, Belly Shack, and the two locations of Urban Belly. Chef Kim, thanks so much for being here. Thanks for being my guest on the Big Table.
Thank you.